You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me in the home studio, getting this out to you guys on a Friday, is Blake the intern. Blake, man, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Last Saturday was, I've been to a handful of games in the Dome, and that one's up there. That might be number one for me. And a little basketball game Wednesday night too. That was a lot of fun as well against Moorhead.
Yeah, we will discuss that a little bit more deeply. We're not going to get into the South Dakota State game. You guys are here, for your weekly Bison Report. Look, we wish it was back to bi-weekly. We wish, we were giving you three shows a week like we were 2 years ago. We wish a lot of things. But if you are here on a Friday expecting us to break everything South Dakota State related down, please understand that Trevor Gebhardt and I dropped an emergency SDSU pod on Monday. So if you just go check out Bison Report or look at the Bison Report Podcast Network feed, you will find Trev and I breaking the whole thing down. And honestly, that episode, just for talking about the marker game, ended up being longer than our review and preview pods. I mean, it was an hour. So that was really, really fun. And I implore you to go check that out. All right. Real briefly into the news. Injury news. No reason to believe Raja Nelson will be available this week. Sounds like he's really sore. Will not be available against Murray. Sound like, honestly, frankly, the way Paulsek made it sound, he wouldn't be available no matter what. Like, it wouldn't matter if it was the Gophers on Saturday. Like, it just, like, Raja wasn't going to be available after what he did against South Dakota State. The rest of the injury news gets much worse. Oscar Benson out for a while, but going to return. Sam Young out for the season. Torn pec, not going to return. Cole Payton out for the season. Torn labrum that has destabilized his non-throwing shoulder, but the non-throwing shoulder, when you're Cole Payton, is the one that you put in people's chests to run them over. So it's important. I know people are like, that's his non-throwing shoulder, it's fine. Guys, what have we seen Cole Payton do for 3 years? And why would we believe that, like, all of a sudden he's just going to hand the ball off and throw it and it's okay that he can't scramble or try and run people over in short yardage? Like, what are we talking about there?
Yeah, that's just the complete opposite of his game, right? Like,
yeah,
it's short packages, run up the middle. No, he's plowing people over with that shoulder. If he tries to do that with a banged up shoulder, it's bad news.
Absolutely.
Probably.
No, 100%. And we obviously wish all three of these guys a speedy recovery. Devil's advocate, honestly, though, on all three guys, and I'm not saying this is like my opinion, but how many people complained about the Cole Payton package? Cam Miller's playing so well. Keep him in there. I mean, I don't know how much I heard that against Colorado or the analysis of the Colorado game. Why is Cam Miller being taken off the field? We were very critical of Sam Young last year and early in the season. Now, this moved to strong safety, but I still think they probably get a little bit more athletic by, replacing Sam. I don't think you can replace his experience, and he was playing better. The defense was playing better. But then again, with Oscar Benson, like Oscar's playing fine, but Enoch Sabamana might be the most exciting young defender that they have. And so more opportunities from him, like I said, you can kind of go to a devil's advocate on all three or even optimist, I guess, if that's the way you're, positive aspects of all three kind of not great situations.
They're all kind of finding their stride in some way, I think. But like in the safety room, there was a lot of questions. I mean, like Polisic seemed a little like flustered, almost a little bit at stuff, just because like, well, Talen Eddie was one name thrown out at there at safety.
Yeah, he got mad at me for mentioning Noah Taylor and Rhys Sheldon. The only reason I even brought their names up was just because they have already burned their red shirts. And so playing Rhys or playing Noah would not affect any long-term planning. No, I get it too. Like in the day and age of the transfer portal, what is long-term planning? Like what does that even mean? Why does anybody care? I get that. So I get that. Like I understand why Tim is potentially like, yeah, what? I don't care. Like Talen Eddie is our next safety, and if he burns a redshirt, he burns a redshirt. I totally understand that concept for sure.
Yeah, Paul, he mentioned that. I think you asked about Will Washington a few weeks ago, and he
Yeah.
flat out said, I don't care about the redshirt.
Yeah.
Like those words. So that could very well happen.
Okay. Into hoops. Thrilling exhibition against MSUM, and I think some of coaches' responses at the end were telling. I think the player participation was telling. Like MSUM played 6.5 guys. This was like their Super Bowl. I mean, they're trying to win that game and whatever. Like, good for them, man. They were trying to get ready for a big time NSIC season. Like, I get it fully. But Richmond just didn't treat it that way, or either that or had much more depth than MSUM either way. But Stefanowicz got in, Trayson got in, like everybody pretty much got to play except Damari Wheeler-Thomas, Derek Doucette, probably two of their top five, two of their top six as far as expectations going into the season. They leaned on Doucette so much as a true freshman that you have to be a little bit excited about what he can bring as a true sophomore. And then DWT is a two-time returning 38 a minute or 38 minutes a game point guard. So there is that. So I guess my question, because of what we saw from Brandon Watkins, and just because of the lineup logistics, and I don't think I don't think I ever had him pegged to start anyway. You think either DWT or Doucette would start normally?
Well, it would be so hard for me to think that Damari would not start. Just having the keys the last 2 years, and don't get me, Brandon Watkins played phenomenal last night. So there's like it's questioning, but I can't imagine Doucette would start just what they have in the front court. He has to play. He has
Yeah.
his athleticism and his length just needs to be out there,
Right.
especially from a defensive perspective. He adds so, I think he's very valuable on that end, but I don't know that. I don't think this set is a starter, probably.
But we'll see. Richmond teams in the non-conference have often, coach talks a lot about, well, we want to be the best versions of ourselves in March, which I frankly agree with, but sometimes some of the missteps that the Bison basketball program has taken under Richmond, because you got the big time Power Five wins from Tim, and you got the big time Power Five win from Saul against Notre Dame, and I think those teams were better kind of configured to be a 13 seed or a 12 seed. Like when if you start as slow sometimes as NDSU does, like yeah, you can win the Summit League, but how much good does it do you in the NCAA tournament to be a 15 seed? Or sometimes worse. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna be interested to see how like this competitive of an exhibition works better or worse than beating Crookston by 60.
Just to get them like getting going instead of
Right.
you're playing 40-point games
Yeah,
until
somebody punched them in the face in the exhibition. They're down 14 at one point.
right instead of beating St. Olaf by 50 like they did last year.
Right.
That's kind of, I think, what's,
Exactly.
yeah, they don't have a huge, I mean, we've talked about, they don't have a huge non-conference slate. Like Butler's the big game, and then there's just other like good, decent mid-major
Yeah,
games.
Western Michigan, Illinois State,
Cal State
Bakersfield,
Bakersfield.
yep, things of that nature. Brennan Watkins team high 17 points, 35 minutes. Like, that's the biggest storyline to me is if you get a fully healthy Damari Wheeler Thomas, what does this look like? I don't personally see them playing together. I don't. Like, maybe 5, 6 minutes together. Are you gonna go 20 minutes, 20 minutes? Is DWT the backup point guard? Like, I don't know. Did you bring Brennan Watkins in to play 12 minutes a game if you're going to give 28 to DWT? No. So what is it? What does it look like? You know?
I don't know fully, like Damari's leg deal, right? Like, 'cause he was
I'm gonna
dressed.
ask. I asked for I've asked Wes for my, annual sit down with coach. I will ask the question. I will get as good of an answer as I can get. I'm sure there is some competitive advantage, or at least perceived competitive advantage, to not completely divulging what the plan for Damari is. I poked at it last night,
Yeah, he didn't get
and
anything.
he said, "Well, why don't we? I don't know, fight that monster when we get to it, or cross that bridge when we come to it, or tackle that issue." I don't remember 100% what he said, but it was something along those lines.
And they both have 2 years left, so that's 2 years together to figure out this plan. Not to say that you can take a whole year to be like, well, you know.
Right, but I mean, if they can play a 6 to 8 minute stretch together, that's helpful, because then you could give let's say the starter plays 28 and the backup plays 12. Well, if you can play together for 8 minutes, then you can get the backup, and I'm using air quotes, which is great for a podcast, but I'm saying if you can play them 8 minutes together, then the backup point guard that plays those 12 minutes while the other one sits actually gets to play 20 minutes a game. But are either DWT or Brennan Watkins really looking for 20 minutes a game?
Just Damari is like top 10 in the Summit in minutes last year.
Right. And here's the guy who really throws a wrench in anything, and that is Mason freaking Miller playing 35 minutes a game. And he is, I don't think, what anybody would mistake for a point guard, but he has a point guard size. And here's why I think that matters. I don't think, and look, I'll get proved wrong, with as much as Coach Richmond values defense, and I'm not even saying that Mason doesn't play defense, but as much as Coach Richmond values athleticism and length defensively, I think he would jump in a frozen lake before he would probably play Watkins, Damari, and Mason Miller together for a long stretch defensively. Because my humble opinion is that's about 6 foot, 6 foot 1, and 6 foot 2. I mean, you're gonna get beat up.
Yeah, that's little.
It is. It's little. And unless they are super athletic and you're flying up and down the floor, which is just not NDSU's defense or offense, you can't get away with being that little, even in the Summit League. I thought the new guys playing together for the first time was fun. But boy, was it Peninga?
Beninga.
Beninga? Gangster. Like, him and the other guard, three.
Yeah, Jahmyr Price.
Wow. But Beninga, why was there no D1 bag for that kid? Why did no, I'm not even saying NDSU necessarily. That's hooping. He was hooping. And I looked at him like, if he was the point guard for South Dakota State, I would be annoyed. Like, a mid-major basketball team could have done themselves a favor by adding him. Maybe he didn't care. It's totally fine if he didn't care. Not everybody is constantly trying to climb the ladder. If I was a mid-major ball club, I would have found a bag for that kid. Just my humble opinion. Speaking of mid-major ball clubs and maybe bags, I don't know what the situation. Jackson Mone, I thought he had a big second half, a little bit of a struggle for Fetty, but you could really see like how gifted. And I've said this maybe privately. I understand how much money Andrew Morgan got to leave and go to, I believe, Nebraska. I will say two things. Number one, NDSU is either going to improve or see no drop off at the five spot this year. And you can say, oh, that's insane. Morgan left for blah, blah, blah. He was second team, blah, blah. Don't care. Jackson Mooney is going to be as productive or more productive than Andrew Morgan. Just my humble opinion. The other thing that I'll say is that the Summit League voters leaving Mooney off of everything is hilarious to me. And I will specifically offer any South Dakota State fan whatever they'd like in a bet, but Clough,
Oscar Clough.
Sure. Jackson Mooney points and rebounds versus Oscar Clough points and rebounds. That's second team preseason all Summit League, right? Oscar Clough, have you? Over, not even, I don't even think honorable mention Jackson Mooney, just bum Jackson Mooney, according to the Summit League voters, by the way, who are based in Sioux Falls and have seen how many NSIC tournaments at the Pentagon. I'm going to get like all bent out of shape. The people that vote on Summit League and Missouri Valley Awards needs to be audited and figured out, but whatever. I'm it's not this podcast. It's just these people don't do a very good job. And then I'd be interested to see like what the plan is for that third big, right? If Trayson Anderson's going to be the guy, sure. It doesn't seem like it's going to be Patrick Bath. Like, Trayson went in, Stefanowicz went in, Bath did not go in. And other than that, Eli Bradley street clothes, but not a big. And Derek Doucette street clothes, not a big. So if you're going to have a true third, you know, five type, because really your two five types play at the same time a lot with Mooney and Feddersen. Like, are you burning Trayson's red shirt to be the third big? I guess they probably are, but I don't. Like, are you burning Trayson's red shirt so he can be last year's version of Josh Trey?
Yeah, to take a year away from him and play 8 minutes a game.
I would.
Yeah, I don't. They're just like, what you saw last.
How many guys are making it 5 years at NDSU anymore anyway?
None.
So there you go.
They're done and gone. Yeah, I don't know, because they're really
even the
big.
Even the success stories like Bowden and Grant, did they stick around for 5 years?
Absolutely not.
No. So I think if they need Trayson Anderson to be, and I'm not saying Trayson Anderson's going to transfer. What I'm saying is, like, if they need Trayson Anderson to be the third big, just have him be the third big. And if he plays four successful years here, and he wants to go play his fifth year at Nebraska or Creighton or somewhere else closer to home, Iowa State, I don't really care. Like, I don't know how many Feddersens are in the pipeline anymore. I don't know how many talented kids you're going to be able to keep the red shirt on and how often you actually expect to keep basketball players at NDSU for a full 5 years. It just hasn't. It hasn't been the case. And certainly no sixth-year guys. I mean,
no,
it just didn't happen.
It'll be interesting to see how that rotation works, I think, just because they're really big with Feddersen and Mooney. And I understand they can both stretch the floor. Jackson Mooney made like 163s at
Northern. Yeah, yep.
But they're both 6'10". And if you're playing small, well.
Yeah, you saw a little bit of that with MSUM. I mean, Mooney can move, but if the guy guarding him is 6'5 and just running off of screens, like, it's a tiring thing for him, period.
Yeah, you put screens on Beninga and he just cooks you to the hole.
Right.
That rotation's interesting to me to watch.
Especially because you're going to have to add this set to the rotation. He's going to play. So, yeah, no, super interesting. We'll see if I can get some answers from the head coach, or at least the, I don't know, some gentle answers. Something in the vein of answers.
See what he concedes.
Yeah, exactly. We'll figure that out. Okay. Full disclosure, not going to spend a ton of time on this. Murray State, I think NDSU's 29-point favorite on the road. I'd have to look that number up again. Maybe it's moved. They're 1-6 right now. Their only victory is over Mississippi Valley State. Mississippi Valley State, yes, the home of Jerry Rice, but consistently one of the worst programs in FCS football. The defense is really struggling, regardless of all the nice things that Tim Pawlacek had to say about it. They're giving up 50.5 points per game and 555 yards per game in four Valley games. Woof.
Woof. Yeah, when he was talking about their defense, I'm like,
what defense are you talking about?
Right, because yeah. UND's fine offensively, but they put a 70 burger.
Right.
South Dakota put a 60 burger.
Yeah.
I get
what he's saying. He's probably, if you were to nerd it up, he's probably talking about their defensive success rate is okay, meaning like down to down, it's okay. But they give up so many explosives that it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you force, you know, you play okay for two series, you force two punts when every other series ends up in a touchdown. And oftentimes it's a long touchdown. Like, their issue with explosive gains is very serious. They rank 100th or worse in multiple statistical categories on offense and defense. A couple NDSU ties. Zeb Noland works with the QBs down there. Jaden Johannesson is from Sioux Falls, Washington. Shout out, Geb. Sixth-year senior, began his career at NDSU, and then just chucked it all over the yard at South Dakota School of the Mines. 98 total touchdowns, like he was a dude. Now, it's kind of going okay. Six touchdowns, five picks, 132 yards. Completion percentage is super low. Don't know how much separation his receivers are generating. Don't know how much of it is his fault, but you know it's been fine. I don't think it's going to go particularly well for the former Bison here on Saturday.
Yeah, it might not be all his fault. I mean, his leading receiver did not play football for 6 years until this year. Justice Hill was a basketball player and all Ohio Valley performer in 2022, like 14 points a game, five assists. Kind of a tangent there, but like, it's just, that's where they're at. Like, the leading receiver is a basketball player. Said, hey, come catch some passes.
Yeah.
Right. The running backs are both Northington and
Jennings.
Yeah, Quidarius Jennings. Both have statistically decent. I haven't seen them run the ball. But yeah, even with injuries, this Bison defense, this could be just licking their chops kind of a day.
One, it's interesting too that they would be so high yards per carry. Maybe it's because it's not expected. I mean, you would assume that an offense opposite a defense that is playing as poorly as Murray is, and especially you look at Johannesson only averaging 132 passing yards a game, like things have got to be going terrible, because if you're giving up 50 points a game, in theory you're throwing, because that's really basic football would tell you that once you get behind two touchdowns, you start throwing. And once you get behind 10 points, you start throwing. Well, the throw production is terrible. So I wonder if that rushing average isn't based on it just being like unexpected, or teams really softening their defenses because they're up 28, 35, 42. I don't know. It is hard to know. As you mentioned, Justice Hill, not that Justice Hill. Derrick Henry's back up with the Ravens.
Yeah.
But Justice Hill, leading wide receiver, 15 catches, 223 yards. He is playing football for the first time in 6 years. He was the Arkansas Gatorade Player of the Year in 2018. That gives you
some perspective.
Yep, on how long that was. But an all-OVC Hooper in 2022, averaging 14-5. You put it down here in the script, I agree. Stay healthy. Like, this team has suffered so many injuries. You know, it reminds you of, like, the Eli Mostert broken leg in a game where they were up 50. Well, let's just not do that. Whomever it might be, like, this is a game. If you've got a couple of guys, you know, that are maybe one game in on the four-game rule, two games in on the four-game rule, like, if you can play young guys, play young guys. You're multiple touchdown favorites on the road. Survive this game. Go back to the Fargo Dome. Win that game, and then you get a bye. And I believe, is it Northern Iowa first or Missouri State first?
Northern Iowa is first.
Yeah, and Northern Iowa has quit. Sorry. So survive this game, survive Northern Iowa with decent health, get your 2 weeks off, and get healthy for the home stretch. I think that was a great point by you. you have development, getting guys on the field. You can certainly see the track that they're trying to run here for Rajah. The assumption would honestly probably be the 3 weeks off and ramp them up for South Dakota. That's my
ideally.
Assumption. That's my assumption.
Yeah.
And can you get Nathan Hayes in the game? Because it matters now. You know, I asked Paul a sec. I think he's being honest with me. Even though Nathan Hayes is potentially even faster than Cole Payton, not so much in the run you over category, not so much in the fourth and two, get on my back category, I don't think there's going to be a Nathan Hayes package in game, whether it's for short yardage, whether it's for a QB run. Like, I think it's just off the menu. And unless and until something bad happens to Cam Miller, I don't think there's a Nathan Hayes show unless it's a 35-42 point lead for NDSU. I don't think that there is a Nathan Hayes package in the way that there was a Cole Payton package.
Probably not. Yeah, he has a lot of, like you saw in that touchdown against Tennessee State, when he gets in a straight line, I mean, Matt can fly.
Yeah.
And he's got a huge arm from what the coaching staff, strongest arm on the team is what I think they said.
Yeah.
Now, there's more to playing quarterback than just having a big arm.
Yeah, run fast, throw hard is not the whole thing. Like, it sounds sort of Josh Allen-y in a fun way, but it's not the whole thing.
Yeah. That's just my thing with development. Like, get guys off the field, like, not getting 65 snaps.
Right, yeah. Staling, Altapeter.
Give me some Donovan Woolen. Give me some Will Washington. Give me some Talen Eady. Some,
yeah.
Those guys. Yeah. Some Peter Haugo. Give him some carries.
Sure.
Assuming you take care of business.
Right.
Early enough.
And we'll just dive right into the predictions here. I think it's going to be a little bit of a disappointing day. I've got NDSU 42, Murray State 7. And by disappointing, I mean like UND scored almost 70 on these guys. So I just think that with kind of the dinged up, I would not be surprised if Polisek had sort of a, let's just win 40-10 and go home. Like, I don't think they're going to try and do style points, because UND was clearly trying to do style points. That's what I saw out of that. I think if NDSU wins this game by 35 points, they're going to just say this. Nobody's going to look at this. When it comes to the committee, nobody's going to, like, respect this, not respect this one way or another. We just need to win by multiple scores and go home. That's my opinion of this game.
Yeah, I'm getting a similar vibe as the Southern Illinois game. Just get it done. Like, let's just get home.
There's a bigger talent gap than with SIU, but yeah.
And now we're home for, we don't have to go back on the road until USD.
Yeah.
And so I think they're still going to rack up some points. I got 52-14, but.
Yeah, a lot of time in their own beds in November. A lot of time.
100%.
Okay. Thank you, Blake, for taking the time to do this with me. Thank all of you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, everyone. Go Bison.